Just take a moment and breathe very deeply and feel the love of God around you and in you. You are loved, and you are full of light. Thank you. The first reading today comes from the book of Ezra, chapter 1 and chapter 3. And there are some names that are very difficult to pronounce, and blessed be that none of us have been named by these names. So you will forgive me if you think I'm screwing up. I'm not. I'm just trying to make my way through the ancient world. In the first year of King Cyrus of Persia, in order that the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah might be accomplished, the Lord stirred up the spirit of King Cyrus of Persia, so that he sent a herald throughout all his kingdom, and also in a written edict declared, "Thus says King Cyrus of Persia, the Lord, the God of heaven, has given me all the kingdoms of the earth. And he has charged me to build him a house at Jerusalem in Judah. Any of those among you who are of this people, may their God be with them, are now permitted to go up to Jerusalem in Judah and rebuild the house of the Lord, the God of Israel. He is the God who is in Jerusalem. And let all survivors in whatever place they reside be assisted by the people of their place with silver and gold, with goods, and with animals, besides freewill offerings for the house of God in Jerusalem." When the seventh month came, and the Israelites were in the towns, the people gathered together in Jerusalem. Then Jeshua's son of Jozadak, with his fellow priests, and Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, with his kin, set out to build the altar of the God of Israel, to offer burnt offerings on it, as ordered in the law of Moses, the man of God. They set up the altar on its foundations because they were in dread of the neighboring people, and they offered burnt offerings upon it to the Lord morning and evening. And they kept the festival of booths, which we know as Sukkot, as prescribed, and offered the daily burnt offerings by number, according to the ordinance, as required for each day. When the builders laid the foundation of the temple of the Lord, the priests in their vestments were stationed to praise the Lord with trumpets, and the Levites, the sons of Asaph, with cymbals, according to the directions of King David of Israel. And they sang responsively, praising and giving thanks to the Lord. "For he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever toward Israel." And all the people responded with a great shout when they praised the Lord, because the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid. But many of the priests and the Levites and the heads of families, old people who had seen the first house on its foundations wept with a loud voice when they saw this house, though many shouted aloud for joy, so that the people could not distinguish the sound of the joyful shout from the sound of the people's weeping. For the people shouted so loudly that the sound was heard far away. The second reading is from Luke 2. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, looking forward to the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit rested on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Guided by the Spirit, Simeon came into the temple. And when his parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what was customary under the law, which we know as the bris, Simeon took him in his arms and he praised God, saying, "Master, now you are dismissing your servant in peace, according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for the glory of your people, Israel." And here ends our reading for today.
Please join me in the spirit of prayer. Holy God, we trust whenever we gather that you are surrounding us, that your love is in us and around us. Prepare now our hearts for receiving what comes to us in this time of meditation and in this time of worship. In Jesus, our brother's name, amen. Sounds of both weeping and of joy. Those sounds were heard at the same time, and the sound was so tremendous. It was so tremendous that it was heard by others who were a very long distance away. This narrative from the minor prophet Ezra is important to our Advent journey. It reminds us that during this Advent time of reflection, there are people who are looking upon the coming celebrations with anticipated joy. There are others, for various reasons, who are sad and perhaps weeping as our celebration of Christmas approaches. And sometimes we weep because of joy, don't we? And then there's multiple reasons that we weep. This reading reminds us also that our brothers and sisters in both the Jewish faith tradition and the Muslim faith tradition, like us, go through times of great joy and times of great sadness in our histories and in our present times. And the rebuilding of the temple that was referred to is one of the issues that causes great tension for those three faiths, our three Abraham-based faiths. I know in this time of Advent, we anticipate the time of peaceful, quiet night. I particularly always think of the little town of Bethlehem. I think also of Silent Night and O Holy Night. Those are a few of my favorite songs that capture the beauty of the night that we are looking forward to. that time that brings us the first day of Christmas. We reenact it every year. And as we do so, to me, it is important to remember that Mary and Joseph were immigrants as they sought shelter in the stable in Bethlehem. Right now, I guess Jared's not back yet, Harold, is that right? Is he still over?
No, he's back.
Okay. Jared was in the land we call Holy, and I have another friend that just returned from the Holy Land. So right now, today's town of Bethlehem has a large square with a beautiful Christmas tree and Christmas decorations. People go there to celebrate, to remember. They go as pilgrims. This last Friday, however, I received word that Christians from the Gaza Strip will not be given their usual pass to visit Bethlehem this year. I know many of us don't like to hear about the tensions in the lands where Muslims, Jews, and Christians for a long time have lived together as helpful, caring neighbors. But we know what happens with politics, right? We're suffering from what happens with politics here in our own nation. So much of the tension that is caused there is political, just as much of the tension that is caused here in our United States is political. Now, a few years ago, we had a UCC person visit us here at ACC on a Sunday. She was then working on behalf of the UCC in the Middle East. She said she could not talk great details about what she did when she was there, but she said she could send me a coverage called "What We're Reading in the Middle East." This comes almost daily to me. These are the real news stories in the Middle East. It's like we have real news stories here in our country, right? And then there's the term fake news, et cetera, et cetera. We don't always get the real news about what is going on here either. So that source is where I got my most updated information, along with my friends from around our nation who serve with me on the UCC, National Steering Committee for Palestine-Israel Network. It's called PIN. And other Middle East keeping groups, peacekeeping groups. Most of our sister denominations have similar committees. We continue to work toward peace in the Middle East. I left postcards in the back chairs as you exit today. If you want to read a little bit more about this, they're there for you. It shows the wall that goes around Bethlehem, and it shows Mary and Joseph traveling on the donkey, and then there's shepherds outside the wall with their sheep, and for me, I think they're pondering, gee, how do we get in? Most of us know that Bethlehem is actually in Palestinian territory. So take a postcard if you'd like. It gets a little bit more detailed information. As we celebrate Advent today with the candle of love, I like to remember the love that caused the people to undertake the building for God that is talked about in our reading from the prophet. I like to think of the love that existed among the people who lived as neighbors. And I know many years ago I mentioned the book by Elias Shakur called Blood Brothers. It's one of his best known books. And in that book he tells how Jews, Christians, Muslims lived side by side as neighbors, as loving, kind neighbors, supporting each other. What I hold in my loving heart for the future, even though it will most likely not happen in my lifetime, is that loving relationships will be reestablished in the land that we call holy and throughout the world. Now, I wear a symbol, and you can see it up on the screen. Remember our comma that used to be in red? You can see a blue comma. This is now our new theme for United Church of Christ. It's called Three Great Loves. And those three great loves are neighbor and children and creation. Many of us work in areas where we are mandated reporters. If a child is in danger, we are mandated to report that. If a person, an adult, seems to be in danger to self or to somebody else, we are mandated to report that. It's awful to have to separate children from their families. And of course, we had our Lights of Liberty, where we were thinking of children as they were being separated here from their families. And the records are not kept so that those children can be reunited with their families. So I call on us to think of this new slogan, Three Great Loves. And our love of creation, when there is warfare going on, that destroys creation also because it pollutes, it destroys what God has created. So I lift that symbol up to you and keep a lookout for it. I think we have pins in our pews that maybe are the Three Great Love ink pins. At least a few of them have been, I know. So love for me is also the center of our reading today from the Gospel according to Luke. The Holy Spirit moved Simeon to go to the temple on that day that we have read about, for he had been told that he would not die before seeing the Messiah. And sometimes those words are used at the end of a memorial service. Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For he had been told that he would not die before seeing the Messiah. Now, it's a little confusing. We're using the narrative scriptures. And so it's confusing that he's going to the temple and seeing the baby when we've not yet come to the birth of the baby. But the two scriptures fit together because of the relationship of the faiths that are mentioned. So in the Torah, if we were to look at Leviticus 12, Exodus 13, 12 through 15, and other readings from the Torah, we also would know that 40 days after the birth of a baby, the mother is required to go to the temple for purification after giving birth. Pardon me. And also for the ritual that is for the redemption of the firstborn son. What a statement of love. When we abide by rules, that is a statement of love. Unless, as I've mentioned, politically, there are statements that we need to sometime do some divine obedience or disobedience, as the song I shared some weeks ago. But this statement of love is found in this reading about Simeon. And he took Jesus in his arms and praised God, saying, Master, now you are dismissing your servant in peace, according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. And we are inheritors of that love. And remember, the word all appears there too. And did we really hear that? Salvation. Salvation prepared for all people. A revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. This is an extravagant inclusiveness and an extravagant expression of love. It's an extravagant expression of love for all. This is what I most look forward to as we move through our Christmas story and as we begin our Christian year. Advent is the beginning of our Christian year. Well, I do need to mention, even though she is not mentioned in today's reading, we cannot forget Anna, who was also in the temple. Now, what's special about Anna is she went every single day to the temple. She was waiting for God's promise of a Messiah. Now, Simeon was moved by the Holy Spirit to go on that special day. But Anna was moved to go every day. What does love inspire us to do every day? That's something I ask you to continue to think about. Both Simeon and Anna were thought to have been at least 100 years or so in age. My goodness, people lived a long time then. We're not sure if it was calculated according to our same number of years, but one scholar refers to them both as people who lived with the spirit of expectation, the spirit of worship, and the spirit of obedience. And that's what we are all called to do, living with expectation, the spirit of worship, minute by minute by minute, and the spirit of obedience, doing that which we feel most strongly in our hearts and in our minds and in our souls that God is calling us to do. So we today are called to live in the same way. We are called to hear and see and live with expectation, worship, and obedience. One of my favorite songs also is Love Came Down at Christmas. Love did come down at Christmas, but in a way no one could truly imagine. Love, God's love, came and comes to us again this year in the form of a helpless, tiny little baby who was a refugee, who was born in Palestine, whose parents eventually had to flee from Bethlehem as refugees for the sake of this tiny child's life. So today, I simply pray, as we move towards Christmas, that we don't just hear and see. I pray that we share, spread, and grow the message of love so strongly that we can overcome the hate that seems to outshout expressions of love and expressions of caring and hope and the many acts of kindness that we each are doing every day. Can we do that in this new year of our Christian story as we begin it? Can we do that in the name of Jesus, our brother, who is the embodiment of God's love here on earth? Can we do that as Jesus' brothers and sisters, who are also heirs to God's embodiment here on earth? Can we? You want to say yes, we can with me? Yes, we can. One more time. Yes, we can. Thanks be to God, and amen.